And it has been noted that non-white characters are underrepresented on TV and in the movies. For instance, one study out of the University of Southern California shows that out of nearly 4,000 speaking roles in the 100 top-grossing movies of 2014, fewer than 5% were Hispanic characters, even though they make up 16% of the population. But TV is taking a stab at representation with remakes of classic shows recast with Hispanic characters and storylines. NPR's TV critic Eric Deggans has been watching. And Eric, I'm trying to think, how unusual is it to create a remake fundamentally different from the original?
TV is sort of embroiled in kind of remake fever right now. Will and Grace and Roseanne are being redone, and they're doing them mostly with the original cast, and they're kind of doing it the way the show was done when it was originally on. But MacGyver has been redone on CBS with a totally new cast, younger people. And SWAT has been redone for CBS, and it stars a black man in the lead role, whereas in the original, most of the characters were white. Yeah. So you do see some creators saying, maybe we'll think about having more diversity among the characters and trying to, you know, find new storylines that way.
Well, let's take a listen to one show. Netflix has its second season of One Day at a Time. Remind us what the original was like, and then we'll listen to a little of the new one.
So the original show was pioneering because it featured a divorced woman raising her daughters on her own. And so the new version of One Day at a Time uses kind of the same situation. It's a mom on her own. The husband is overseas serving in the military, and she also has a grandmother, but the family is of Cuban heritage. There's a great scene where Rita Moreno talks as her character, the grandmother of this family, about what it felt like when she was called a spick by someone when she was younger. So let's listen to that clip.
When it is being yelled at you as you are walking home from a school, a teenage girl who can barely speak the language, you are thinking first, ah, it is a catcall because of my perfect legs. But then your friend Valentina tells you, no, in fact, it is a hate word.
Obviously, very different characters, but what are we seeing? I mean, does it feel like One Day at a Time?
In some ways it does. The set of the apartment where most of these situations take place is set up kind of the way the original set was on the show. And they talk about issues directly in the same way that Norman Lear's classic sitcoms always did. Of course, it's very different because this is a Cuban-American family, and they are very proud of their heritage, and they often have situations come up. Or in the case of the episode that the speech came from, the young son in the family was called a derogatory name at school, and he got in a fight, and that got them talking about how they have to face racism every day because of their heritage.
Right. Well, the theme song was also updated. Let's listen. So, Eric Deggans, how are people reacting?
Critics really liked the show and made a lot of people's best of lists, even though the first season dropped more than a year ago on Netflix. I was a little more measured. I do think sometimes the scenes are kind of clunky, but I love the spirit of the show. And there's so little representation of Latino and Hispanic characters on big, high-profile TV shows that I really welcome this effort, and it really needs to spread.
Yeah. Well, there's a little more. Last week, the cable channel Freeform announced it's going to remake Party of Five. This is the really popular show about five children. Their parents had been killed. The older kids raised the younger ones. And so how's that being adapted?
So what we've learned is that this is about a family of kids that have to figure out how to stay together when the parents are deported. Mm. And what I've heard is that the oldest sibling is actually going to be a DACA recipient and might be at risk of being deported as well. And then the younger kids will all be American citizens. And in fact, the writers will have to keep a sharp eye on what's happening now with the politics so that it feels realistic. It's a way of humanizing a lot of these policy discussions and political fights that we're having right now on the front page of every newspaper.
So we're talking about having more Hispanic representation on TV, and you've written a terrific article that we'll post at hereandnow.org. You say, first of all, you know, when it comes to films and TV shows, Hollywood isn't paying the price. Hispanics go to movies and watch television in, you know, huge numbers. They're not turned away even when they're not represented. But why else don't Hispanic viewers, as you put it, respond as strongly to Hispanic characters and demand them as maybe black viewers do to shows featuring black characters?
There's so many different nationalities and cultures inside the Hispanic designation that we have in America. So, for example, when the George Lopez show was on ABC, you know, George Lopez is Mexican. The fictional family was Mexican. So if you're Cuban or if you're Puerto Rican or if you're from Venezuela, you may not feel that that show really represents your culture. Now, Spanish language television has a way of sort of uniting across cultures and nationalities through language. But English language shows aren't able to do that. But the shows are more interesting when they're more diverse. Why not do more of that to make the shows better?
That's Eric Diggins, NPR's TV critic. Eric, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.